OT After Dark is a podcast run by two occupational therapists and is for adults only. The views on this podcast are our own and are intended for information and educational purposes only. We believe that sex and sexual pleasure are a human right for consenting adults, regardless of ability, age, gender, or sexual orientation. We discuss topics that cover a wide variety of sex and sexual practices. To be true to our strong views regarding inclusivity, we use common and slang terms regarding sexual topics, which may be considered explicit. Listener discretion is advised.
We have exciting news to share. We recently partnered with DirectRec, a free app for OT practitioners, PT practitioners, and speech-language pathologists.
DirectRec helps clinicians to find peer-vetted products, and we recently have added our own recommendations of products on DirectRec for sexual health and wellness.
We helped DirectRec get a little extra sexy. DirectRec helps clinicians share products and other digital info, like YouTube videos and Google Docs, with their clients.
DirectRec helps you to track clients' follow-through on your product recommendations. So to start using DirectRec, click on the link on our website at otafterdark.com or in our social media bios.
Hi, I'm Kay.
And I'm JJ.
And we're both occupational therapists.
And we're here talking to you about sex.
Sex in 2019.
Holy shit, what a year this has been.
An unexpected year.
Super exciting.
So our plan today, it's day drinking with Kay and JJ right now.
Woo woo! With our very, very special OT After Dark wine glasses.
My sister kindly painted us OT After Dark wine glasses from our logo.
I know, they're beautiful.
So yeah, our plan today is just to go over 2019.
What did we learn?
It was an unexpected year. We're going to kind of go through the episodes of what we learned. Talk about it. Man, probably talk about a little imposter syndrome.
little self-reflection here.
But overall, 2019 turned out to be a badass year.
Right? Right?
For us, at least. So let's start. Episode one. I don't really remember.
This is episode one's where we started it all.
We did a lot of research for that episode.
Really talking about how sex is an ADL. Really hammering that home.
So my biggest take home from that episode was learning that sex is not necessarily an ADL around the globe.
Yes, it's explicitly stated within the United States and the American occupational therapy practice framework here.
And honestly, until we released that episode and we got some feedback, I didn't realize that was not made clear in other countries.
Yeah, so that was definitely something that was eye-opening.
As much as I think we need to work on it everywhere and in the United States, prop to the United States for actually explicitly stating that in our practice framework.
Yeah, yeah.
My other takeaway is there's not enough research.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, I think that's been like the takeaway for that the entire year, you know, is trying to find what's out there, what people are talking about, what people are researching.
It's hard. There's not a lot out there.
No.
And I think we covered most of the articles in the first episode. So for all of you really excited that we were going to do a lot of research for like all lit reviews for you, we pretty much covered that in episode one and maybe the vibrator episode too.
Yeah. We had a couple extra peppered in here throughout the rest of the season, but
the bulk. Yeah. We have some people reach out to us sometimes asking for advice on research. It's usually like, go check out our website. That's pretty much. Yeah.
But what's been super exciting is the amount of research that is going to be coming out soon.
So much coming.
So much coming.
So much coming. And it's been exciting to actually have knowledge of this research. People reaching out to us, letting us know what research they're doing. We got to participate in the development of an assessment tool that's coming out
that hopefully
in 2020. That was really fun. I hope they appreciated our feedback. If you're listening, I hope you appreciated. And we weren't too much. I think a lot of people involved in that had a similar feedback, though, going through that process.
Yeah.
Any other comments on episode one?
I mean, like I said, that's where it started. This whole journey, this whole wild ride started with episode one, Sex is an ADL.
And I want to clarify, it's been a wild ride. I'm sure we've mentioned this. This was just like, and still is, a leisure activity.
Yeah.
This was just something two nerdy OTs working on their doctorates
decided, hey,
this will be fun. How hard could it be? Maybe a couple.
Which we learned not hard at all.
No, it's not. We're like, maybe a couple people were listening. And as of today, I don't know, we're almost at 18,000 total plays. People from all over the world. We've charted on Apple podcast charts in various countries. I think our highest so far was Ireland. We were number four in the sexuality charts in Ireland. Which,
yeah, thank you, Ireland.
Thank you, Ireland. I already loved you, Ireland. That made me love you even more. But yeah, an unexpected journey.
Yeah, so thank you to everybody who's been listening. We really appreciate all of your feedback, both positive and constructive and everything. We take it very much to heart and try to make this the best podcast that we can for everybody.
We try.
You know, we're only human.
While also maintaining some occupational balance.
Yes. Yes. As critical as everyone else should.
So episode two.
Oh, I am still so proud of you, Kay, for taking the bold move to just reach out to the CEO.
That was the biggest. It was a huge life lesson for me. Is like, just do it. And not to steal anybody else's slogan, but seriously, just do it. Because that was total random. We wanted to do an episode on sex toys and accessibility of sex toys. And we found that Sports Sheets website. And on a whim, I filled out the contact us, like, with questions. And I think they got back to me within at least 48 hours. It might have been 24 hours. And within a few days, the CEO was calling my cell phone and I was at home like, what is happening right now? I figured they might respond. I certainly was not expecting the founder and the CEO to be calling me.
And being like, hey, yeah, sure, let's do this.
Let's do this.
He's fantastic, though.
He was absolutely fantastic. I encouraged him to be exhibitors at AOT. They couldn't do it last year. I didn't see him on the list yet for 2020. I think it would be a great exhibit.
A huge.
Because I think it's difficult to visualize how bondage equipment
would be adaptive equipment
until you actually really see it
in action.
And then it's the most obvious thing in the world.
Right.
So that my biggest takeaway from episode two is don't be scared to ask people for things.
Right. and they have phenomenal, phenomenal resources on their website that I've shared with numerous practitioners and students and people that have contacted us.
Oh, I can't even begin to tell you the number of times this year I have referred people to Sports Sheets.
Yeah, because even beyond just their products themselves, is they just have a wealth of information on positions for many, many disabilities and needs of individuals.
That was exciting. That was also a really exciting experiment in how to use Zoom.
Yes.
To record podcasts.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That was fun.
So that was our first time we interviewed somebody who was, I don't even know what state he was in at the time, because I think
California?
He was there, but I don't actually think he was in California at the time. I think he was either on vacation or a business trip.
Oh.
I want to say he was maybe in Colorado or something. But yeah, that was a learning experience for how we interview somebody far away and record that and get it into the podcast.
You're not bad for episode two, though, right?
I know.
We just kind of, again, just dove right in. Let's do this, guys.
Like, fuck it. Let's try. What's the worst that can happen? So episode three was kind of a continuation.
The greatest field research I've ever done.
Seriously. Sex toy shops all over.
Oh, yeah. Just bouncing around.
Our town, our mystery town. Yes. Though more and more people know where we're from now.
Not too much of a mystery.
Less of a secret. So yeah, it was fun. We went to three
different sex toy shops in our area.
They were all so different.
And what was fantastic, I think, and my biggest takeaway from this, which I wasn't expecting, was the knowledge level of the associates.
Yes.
And how much they knew and how many clients that they have addressed with.
Especially Ambiance. I'll just say, not a sponsor, Ambiance. And the other one who's, I can't pronounce the name of the other one.
Cirilla's, I believe.
I think, yeah.
Again, not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor. Those two in particular were like, it was like game on for them. As soon as they realized what we were there for, they had so much input.
Yeah, and it was fantastic. And it was just great to see how inclusive they were.
The other place, not so much.
Yeah, you know.
They didn't really fully understand, I think, what we were up to.
Yeah.
I don't think they fully understood what we meant by disability either, based on her comments there. But that was fun.
I did get yelled at for opening a package.
Did you?
I did. I tried to open something, and apparently you're not allowed to open things, and she had to open it and put gloves on, and I was just trying to, like, look at the cord.
I remember
how long the cord was.
I do remember the full glove, because I was surprised, because other places I've never seen.
Oh, yeah. There was a whole process to open these sex toys. Yeah, so I got yelled at. But that's not unlike me to kind of break the rules a little bit.
We actually did have, there was more research. We did have some more articles that we could cite in that one. But still, as I recall, a lot of it was just.
Yeah. And that, I believe, is where we discovered this bondage tape that's sitting here on my desk here.
Magical bondage tape.
Yeah. Both fun in the professional and the personal realm.
And cheap.
Right? Right. It's great.
No rehab catalog prices for that stuff.
Nope. Amazon all the way. Again, not a sponsor.
We don't have any sponsors.
No.
Unless you count Anchor.
Yep.
That, like, pays us to do this somehow.
Not very much, but it's all right. It helps us with our equipment.
It helps us with our equipment, yeah. Yeah, if anyone's wondering if you can make money off a podcast, the answer is really no. We have made just enough money to upgrade our equipment. So you've probably noticed some improvements, though we're still trying to figure out the equipment. So there's probably still going to be a lot of room for improvement.
There's always room for improvement with every aspect of life.
I had to learn how to edit multiple audio tracks. That was fun.
Yeah. That's all you.
No,
that's all
you, Kay. No, 2020, JJ. And Audacity are going to make friends. We're going to make friends. It's not that bad. Episode 4.
Private things and private places. Getting into the pediatric sex realm.
An important realm to get into. A realm that we've learned people are still pretty uncomfortable with.
Yeah. But needs to be talked about.
It needs to be talked about. Yeah. It's not. And I hate, I know some people. You know who you are. Sarah. We need to talk about it. Even with 0 to 3. We don't get too much into that in that episode 4. But this whole idea of privacy and boundaries and who gets to see you and who gets to touch you gets flipped in the world of disability. And that's something we need to, at a minimum, be aware of what lessons that we're teaching from 0 on.
Yes.
In terms of privacy and boundaries.
Yeah. And I do want to do a special shout out to Rebecca and thank her so much for being on the podcast and really bringing in her personal life and her family life out into the open and out into the world.
Yeah. And we got a lot of really positive feedback on that and sharing that story. And specifically, I think people appreciated her ability to share that story with a sense of humor.
Yes. Yes. I agree.
And to be a parent with the struggles that come with being a parent and all the things that she talked about, but still being able to laugh and make jokes and keep it real.
Yeah. Yeah.
As what we're trying to do here.
Right.
Keep it real.
It's real life, people. Real life.
So.
Oh. Episode 5.
New Orleans.
The infamous New Orleans Orange American episode. Occupational Therapy Association Conference episode.
The Orange episode.
Yes. I think that's what we should rename it. The Orange episode. If you have not listened to that episode and don't know what we're talking about, we would highly encourage you to go listen to Catherine Ellis.
That was a super fun episode for many reasons. One is it didn't really go as planned, I guess. It was really just supposed to be Yumi and Catherine.
And then we had a whole plethora of people. Which turned out to be a fantastic,
and it was super fun.
Conversation.
And,
for
the, and most of them said they weren't going to talk.
And then everybody did. Talked.
Some were whispering in the background. But everyone in the end had something to say, even though they're like, no, I'm not going to say anything.
See, everybody just wants to talk about sex. They just don't even know it.
No. That was
maybe
fun.
It's just something about us. We just make everybody comfortable to talk about sex. That's what I'm going to go with.
I feel like that's my OT superpower. People tell me anything. People open up about anything to me. That was fun. We literally like scoured the AOTA, the conference handbook program, I guess.
Yeah.
Looking for anyone and everyone that was
talking about sex.
We reached out to a handful of people. A lot of other people really wanted to participate but couldn't.
But that's also too when we got to meet a lot of other people face to face and really like connect with a lot of other practitioners that are addressing sex and intimacy in practice.
We met OT Kate.
Yes, Kate who was Burke, on a later episode.
Who was on another episode there. And again, she had wanted to be on that one but wasn't able to make it over to the hotel bar. So yeah, that was great.
Yeah, we'll probably do it again at next AOTA. So for those of you that are listening and want to join us, send us a message.
Boston, AOTA 2020.
What?
We're presenting at least once.
Yes, on podcasting.
On podcasting.
With a group of other lovely, lovely podcasters.
Yes, which you'll hear more about that, but it'll be, I guess, not so much a sneak peek because this is already, I mean, it's already out there, but... well, we'll see if Brock comes.
I know we're trying to get Brock from Occupy to come in from Australia.
Brock from Occupy is supposed to be there. We'll see if he comes from Australia. Otherwise, I'm assuming he'll zoom in. Sarah from OT for Life, Michael from I Love OT Podcast, and Mandy from Seniors Flourish. Am I missing anyone? Did I get?
Is that five of us? I think there's five podcasters, right?
There's a lot of champagne in me right now. Math is hard.
If we forgot you, we apologize.
Sorry. No, I think that's everyone. So that'll be AOTA Boston this year. Come out to the tech panel and learn about podcasting.
Yeah.
And maybe you can be on a podcast.
That's the goal.
That's the goal, is that we'll be able to record some podcasts during that tech panel.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, episode 6.
Can I just say I love Andrew Gerza. Love him.
So do I. He made a porn after we did this interview.
Yeah, within the past few weeks.
Within the past month or so, he released, I don't know if it's a full movie, but it's a full sex scene filmed, including getting him from wheelchair to bed using a mechanical lift, which was, I know, very important. He's talked a lot on social media about how important that was to him.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was an amazing episode with Andrew because he was so
open and honest. And
we also, I feel like I'm going to get confused because we had a lot of conversation after we recorded with him, where he opened up even more.
Yeah.
So I almost don't want to talk too much because I forget what was said
in that episode. But I mean,
off the episode
and
off the episode.
A phenomenal human being to talk to.
Yeah. Everything about him. What struck me most about when we actually stopped officially recording was the amount of help he wanted to give us from a business point of view, just from marketing and podcasting and just advice on podcasting.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Andrew Gerza.
He was a wealth of information.
Multiple
with
levels.
That.
Yeah.
And so kind to share that, and so kind to be a guest. You know, similar to with Tom from Sports Sheets.
So
this
early
brand
on,
brand new
too.
Podcast. They don't know who we are. They don't know what we're doing. They don't know if they can trust us. and he said yes quickly, and that was on you. So props to you for your bold move of messaging Andrew.
I know. Well, that was after inspiration.
After we learned. Oh, people like, might actually say yes.
Let's see what happens. Worst that could happen is he says no, and we're right back where we started.
I learned so much. I loved his candid discussion of how bad OT was.
Oh yeah, and I think it was great, and I think we need to see the real perspectives from individuals.
I want more of that, more of
the real life,
the real life,
the experience.
We're not all rainbows and ponies.
No,
we screw some things up in our profession. So moving on, episode 6.9. I think we planned about episode 2 that we were not going to have an episode 7.
Nope.
In part because there's allegedly an episode 7 like curse in podcasting, that's when people stop listening. So we're like, well, we'll just have 6.9 because that makes more sense for us anyway.
It's kind of like in hotels where they don't have a 13th floor. We don't have an episode 7.
No, it worked out perfect. 6.9 with Kate. And that was.
Oh, this is where.
That was a good one.
Oh, I loved it because although I think I had read about it prior to this episode, my love for the recognition model really was just solidified after this.
But also the fact that like the Plissett model, it wasn't something that so I took for granted that people knew what the Plissett model was because it was covered in the OT program I went to. And we went to the same OT program, like 10 years apart.
I
know,
but I don't remember it being covered at that point. Then again, memory, that could be a different issue.
But it became clear again after when we first started mentioning it, because we mentioned it in other podcasts before we had Kate on, from feedback from people that a lot of people had no idea what we were talking about.
Yeah,
so I was happy to be able to share that model.
Yeah,
and then your
explicit
and your then the love affair with the recognition model.
I know, and I think I might be a little biased with the recognition model because it was developed by OTs.
I know, but now my concern with the recognition model, which I think we've talked about at least privately, is there's nothing after they kind of postulate this model and then there's nothing.
I know.
So if anyone's listening, this is where I really want to get at. And you want to do research related to sex and sexuality, maybe think about doing something with the recognition model.
And how it's used in practice.
And how it's used in practice or how it can be used in practice. And
start using it in practice and let us know how it goes.
Because there's, other than that initial article, unfortunately, there's not too much on the recognition model.
But it's so good.
I know. I agree.
It's so good.
I agree. It's great. I think we just need... This is with everything.
We just need more evidence. More evidence.
The plague of our profession. We need more evidence. Which moves into episode 8, putting the ass in assessment.
What?
So that's your baby, health measures.
Yes, and the sex FS. Pretty much the most comprehensive sex-based assessment that I have found. And then since that episode has aired, there has been several other sex-based assessments, especially within the OT world, that have been in development, which has been super exciting.
So, yeah, we mentioned early in the episode we got to play a small role in the development of one that's coming out. I'm not even going to pretend to remember. There's a lot of letters in that one.
Yes.
I apologize. It's not out yet, though. I know that they're presenting at AOTA. I saw it in the program. But that one's going to be pretty comprehensive.
Yeah, which is super exciting to see more of these assessments coming out. Because the reason why I love the Sex FS so much is it's my intention to use this assessment in my dissertation. So when I become Dr. JJ.
Dr. JJ.
You guys can read all about my use of the Sex FS.
The Sex FS, too, that health measures one for research purposes is also really nice because
it's free.
Free. Which, if anyone's out there doing research, you know it's not always easy to find things that are free, and
no, it is.
You don't have to hunt down. I had to hunt down people for permission for mine.
I did find. Hold on. It's okay. So the new assessment that we're talking about, it's the Occupational Performance Inventory of Sexuality and Intimacy. So the
OPISI. Yeah. So I don't know I don't know. What do you think they're going to call it? The OPISI or the
OPC?
OPC? I guess we'll find out.
I like OPC.
So that should be coming at you in 2020.
Yeah.
That one. And who knows? That's just one we're aware of. Who knows? Maybe there's other ones being worked on.
We can only hope, right?
But that one, I think people will be pretty excited about that one.
Own your own shit. With my very, very good friend, Dr. Mark Levand.
Episode 9.
Dr. Mark, let me tell you, has been a wealth of information for me. And I'm going to give you a special shout out here, Dr. Mark, for your inspiration and kind of guiding me through a lot of this process. Because I, you know, a lot of this started with that presentation that Dr. Mark and I developed that thank you very much, Kay, for being Dr. Mark's stand-in at Occupational Science
My pleasure.
Conference.
That was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun to get up in front of a room full of people and talk about BDSM and disability.
Right. And seeing everybody's reaction, but very positive reactions.
People reacted very well to that.
Yeah. Which is very interesting.
It was nice to see people react well to that.
Yes.
I think that particular crowd is an open-minded crowd.
Yes.
At SSO.
Yes. We missed you very much, Dr. Mark.
And I hope I did okay standing in.
Yes, you did a fantastic job. But yeah, no, but it's you know, even before this podcast started, Mark and I have had several conversations about the idea of sexuality, disability, healthcare, and those intersections between all of those. So it seemed only natural to eventually have him on the podcast.
And I think that just his overall message, which truly was own your own shit. I have given that advice in slightly more professional terms many times since that, because a lot of people will ask both of us, like, what's kind of the number one thing I can do? And I do believe when he says like that's the first step to being able to address sex and intimacy in your practice is owning up to your own issues, your own biases, whatever it might be. Because I think we all know, practitioners in particular, anyone who's been practicing knows, patients figure out quick.
Right.
They're on to your shit quick. If you're not comfortable with something, they'll know, and that will it can quickly destroy a therapeutic relationship.
Yeah.
So don't forget to own your own shit.
Yeah. So that was a long one, but I feel like that one was full of,
I mean, they all got pretty long
information. I know we started we'll make these 25, 30 minutes,
the average commute, whatever. And then we're like, oh, that's not going to work.
No, sometimes people got a lot to say.
It's not going to work.
And a lot of good stuff to say. A lot of good shit to say.
A lot of good shit to say. Episode 10.
That's
a great one. They're all so great.
I have to say, though, I'll be very honest about episode 10. I feel like this episode I had the biggest takeaways from.
Me too.
And I feel like I learned the most from this episode.
Me too.
And things that still impact me the most and affect me the most come from this episode.
Mm-hmm. My entire language, day-to-day language, changed from this episode.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And especially, too, I find myself discussing the concept of gender and sex on a more regular basis, especially with the common quote-unquote gender reveal, which is not a gender reveal party. It is a sex reveal party.
It's a sex reveal.
Because at that point, you do not know the gender.
This is a conversation I've had a lot this year, especially since this episode. What is gender and all that? Not an easy question to answer.
Right. And how gender differs from sexuality, yeah. and what all that means. And I think, you know, there's such a wealth of information at that organization that I still encourage everybody to go to their website, go to genderspectrum.org, and really educate yourself on the multifacets of gender.
And remember that even after you educate yourself, everybody else still, like, there's still education. I think we caught ourselves in this situation at a conference where I think we have gained a level of knowledge that we're forgetting that other people don't have and that we didn't a year ago necessarily. So I think we're even now taking for granted what people do and don't know, and we've caught ourselves in that. We've checked ourselves. So a good reminder that no matter how educated you are, not everybody has access to the same information. And
I feel like we're trying to not be snarky about it, too, when we educate. Yeah. But just trying to do do the best that we can is to educate everybody on what gender means to
I accepted after it didn't take long for me to accept that I need to learn a lot.
Yeah. And that's fine, you know, and it's fine to accept that. And
I knew that going in, but then I think there was a few epiphanies where like, oh, I'm not going to even try to be perfect at all this. It's fine.
Right.
It's perfectly fine. I'm just
trying. As long as we're a work in progress.
I'm a work in progress and I'm good with that.
But, you know, special little shout out here to the American Psychological Association, APA.
They them.
For 7, APA 7, including they and them as a singular pronoun.
Shout out to any super nerdy listeners right now like us that were super excited with just the new APA manual in general.
I pre-ordered it, not gonna lie.
I'm still waiting for my spiral bound version.
But yeah, but so now in the new APA 7, if you do not know the gender of the individuals you are speaking about, you no longer use he/she. You are now allowed to use they.
I have a lot of PowerPoints to change based on that.
Yeah.
Which I never liked he/she.
No, I didn't either.
But it was funny because like right after that, right after the Spectrum of Gender episode, I pulled up a PowerPoint that I had done, I don't even know how many times for a lecture. And it was quotes. It was from, it was like postulates for change and some theory, I forget which. And it was just kind of like every line was like he or she, he or she, he or she. And I stopped mid lecture and I was like, oh, I really need to change this. And I had like one student in particular was like, yeah, you do. And the rest were like, what? So yeah, work in progress.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about sex
teams.
That was Sam. Sam was fun.
Oh, that was a great episode.
Sam drank with us.
I know.
It from was afar.
Fun, right. But it was great to hear him discuss how his rehab team is addressing sex and how that it's actually being addressed and not just a question or a tick mark on an evaluation, that they are truly bringing that concept into rehab.
And I think it was a good lesson that it came from him as a new grad saying, let's do this.
Yeah.
And then he was given the freedom to do it,
right?
And the support to do it.
I will say though, and this still, I never forget this from this episode, is the prescription for cuddling that was written by the doctor.
That's right.
I never forget that because I was like, really? We need a prescription to cuddle.
We do.
That's what life has come to.
We do.
Prescriptions for cuddling. How do I get a prescription for cuddling?
I dare you to ask your doctor next time.
You know, I got an appointment in January. I'm going to
get a cuddle prescription.
I'm going to ask her.
And then see what your husband says when you come home with that.
I'll be like, hey,
it's doctor's orders.
She says we got to do this.
That was good. That was good. The cuddle prescription. Episode 12, pelvic floor therapy. That was eye-opening.
Yes.
I don't know what else to say. That was eye-opening.
I almost feel like we need like a follow-up to that episode because there's so much information.
Well, we're working on that one, remember?
You're not supposed to tell people. We're
working on, no, we want a tease. 2020 tease. I think the biggest eye-opener is, you know, pelvic floor therapy is always presented as this internal manipulation of things.
Well, and primarily with physical therapy.
And primarily with physical therapy. I've had some heated discussions with my own, like just healthcare professionals in my own community, trying to convince them that no OTs can do that too. But the mental health aspect, I think, is the...
I think that's huge.
The biggest takeaway from that episode.
And a huge part of it, as it should be.
Yeah.
Because you cannot disconnect the mental health aspect from...
And the fact that you don't need, as an occupational therapy practitioner, there's not need for specialized training in that. We have that.
Yep.
We got that down. We should have that down.
It's where we started.
It's where we started. It's our roots.
That's us.
So that was a great one. That also, let's just talk about the logistics of scheduling three time zones. That made my brain hurt trying to, because we had...
Canada.
I can't remember where in Canada.
Western Canada.
And then we're Eastern time zone. States,
and then Australia. And
Australia. So it was
a lot of math involved.
Bright and early, I think, in the morning.
But it was late evening for...
It was evening for us. It was a lot. It was a lot of math. But
and, you know, there is that saying that OTs are not necessarily the best at math.
We were once... There was some... You know, there's always, but like... There's always, like, top 10 professions for whatever those list. And there was a top 10 professions like for people who... Like, if you don't like math. And I'm pretty sure occupational therapy was number one on that
Although,
list.
I think we do that a lot is a of whole math. Bunch of bullshit. It because, is. Good God, that's, like, all evaluations are. Are statistics.
Scored a sensory profile than that the amount of little...
That's all fucking statistics.
All the numbers. All the adding.
Every standardized assessment.
So yeah, I don't agree. But we were, I think we were number one on that list. But speaking of the logistics.
Geometry.
Yeah. Oh, God.
That's geometry.
Anyway, the logistics of that, I do want to say, though, one of the, I don't know, this might be my favorite part of the podcast that I wasn't expecting, was that we've got, like, friends from around the world now.
I know. I love it.
Like, we know practitioners from Australia, United Kingdom, Ireland,
Canada.
We've had the also was it Austria was reaching out. It's been amazing.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic to have that community and understanding of what OT looks like around the globe.
Because it's different around the globe, which is another that we need, like, a top 10 eye-opening moments of 2019.
Right.
It's not that I was surprised that it was so different around the globe. I think I practice here in the United States, so I hadn't given it a lot of thought. Mm-hmm. And there's some pretty significant differences, but then there's some there's significant, I mean, for the most part, similar.
Which I think
there's some
segues beautifully into episode 13.
A little foreign relations in Arizona.
I was at the SSO, the Society for the Study of Occupation conference, where we got to sit down face to face with a lot of our international friends.
That was fun.
Oh,
that
was great. Face to
face with Rebecca Twinley, Bex, as I should say now, and then Owen from Ireland.
And we got a little shout out there, which was our little mind-blowing moment.
Oh, to talk more about that. That was exciting.
Oh, yeah. So we were sitting in a session with Dr. Rebecca Twinley and Gail Whiteford.
No. Oh, yeah. It was Gail Whiteford. Yeah, it was Claire Hawking.
Oh, no. It was Claire Hawking. Gail Claire Whiteford Hawking. Was a different session. Yeah. I apologize. So it was Claire Hawking and Dr. Rebecca Twinley. And they're talking about different topics in OT that don't get discussed very often. And then when sex came up, what popped up on the screen?
Our website.
What?
In this
got a shout out.
It was very exciting. We didn't know. We didn't know that was going to be in that that presentation. And there we were.
Yep.
Feeling some imposter syndrome.
It's Claire Hawking.
I was like, oh, okay then.
And Rebecca Twinley us on the board.
It was very exciting. that was a great conference. And yeah, we didn't really know. I mean, we wanted to record a podcast there. We honestly didn't know who was going to be on it until we recorded. I mean, it wasn't until we recorded that we really know.
Well, and we had been making so many connections and things with people there. That it was kind of impromptu.
It was, yeah. We had talked to Rebecca Twinley. We were trying to get her on. We knew we were hoping that was going to happen. Yeah, but then we made so many connections and we had a real good time in the hotel bar. Sound didn't come out as great as I hoped.
Well, it was before we upgraded our equipment here.
The acoustics in that hotel bar were, whew, they were a little painful. But that was a fun episode. I will never watch The Little Mermaid the same way again.
I know. Which I have a fondness for The Little Mermaid.
I do too, but it's changed.
We're both redheads.
It's changed a lot for me now. It's okay.
I want to talk about it.
It'll be okay. So this is your baby. Next one. Episode 14, Sex Talk with the Autistic OT. I mean, all I hear about from JJ is her friend the autistic OT, and this was the first time I ever actually got to talk to her.
Oh, Sarah is my BFF. she is one of my favorite parts of being in a PhD program, is that my PhD program has brought me to the connection to Sarah. Her and I talk every day, every day. Actually, I don't know if we've talked today. I might have to text her later. Come to think of it.
We were just talking about you.
Like, hey, Sarah. But no, she's a fantastic individual. I am so proud to call her my friend. And I'm so happy that she agreed to be on an episode with us.
And I was honored at how open she was.
Yes.
And based on the response we got from that episode, a lot of people were very happy at how open she was and honest she was. Mm-hmm. So that was a great conversation.
Yeah. I even have to say, even having her as my PhD bestie, I still learned a lot about her from being on that episode.
I'm sure.
I thought I knew everything about her. And then, you know, you never know about your friends.
Never know.
Until they're on the podcast. Any other friends that want to be on my podcast so I can learn more about them.
That's an interesting request.
Give me a text.
This could go the wrong way. Go the very wrong way. And then finally, right? This was our final one so far of this year. Episode 15, getting schooled on sex. That was a long process.
This is a work in progress. But I am very happy how that turned out.
Yeah.
This has been like 7-8 months in the making.
I think so. It was like early summer. I think when we first, it was August when we talked to Kayla. Mm-hmm. Amelia and Kristen, we met them at SSO finally face to face. At one of the first times we were told we were recognized by our voices, which was weird.
That's so weird.
That's happened a couple times.
I know. I can't get weird. Used to that.
Not weird, bad, just weird.
Maybe I need some auto tune so I can be out in public.
That's happened two different conferences. That's happened to us where people are like, oh, I recognized your voice. And Emilio made more sense because we did introduce ourselves at the time. But the other time, you weren't there and the person was just talking to me. She didn't actually, I don't know how she knew other than she said, oh, I recognize your voice from the podcast. And then I saw the name and your title of your, and I think she put it all together in that moment. Are you listening right now? You probably are.
Yep. You know who you are.
That was a fun moment, but it's weird when somebody recognizes you from your voice only. So then we got to meet Amelia, Kristen, and at SSO, but then it still took some time to get that scheduled. And then that third interview, we won't go into a lot of detail on, but that was a real unexpected, but amazing.
And I'm still so thankful for the open and honest conversation.
Yeah.
That was experienced.
And in the moment that happened, she knew nothing about the podcast before that day. She had just kind of discovered the podcast. So yeah, she kind of stumbled upon and asked if she could talk to us. We didn't really know what she was going to talk about, but it was a beautiful conversation. Mm-hmm. So that was great. Yeah. Poor Kayla had to sit and wait for a long time.
So thank you, Kayla. Thank you for being so patient with us as we developed that episode. But I feel that it was worth the wait.
It was worth the wait.
And yeah. I think it turned out to be a spectacular student-centered episode.
Yeah, I think that was great. So 2019 was a surprise.
It was. Everybody wants to listen to us talk about sex.
Who knew?
Right? Sex sells.
Sex, I mean, that is no lie to that. Long-standing sex styles. We learned that real quick.
Yep.
Yeah, everybody wants to listen to people talk about sex and OT.
But let me tell you, though, after this journey, how comfortable I am talking about sex.
I'm too comfortable.
And aspects of sex and gender and everything. And I just, you know, I have no filter at this point, and I'm just going to say
and not around anyone, around family. My dad, I've brought this up. My dad listens to these episodes and gives me like a full review after everyone. And he loves them all. And he's talked about how much he's learned. I have no filter.
Yeah, no. I think, you know, and I've been thinking about this. I've got a few goals for 2020.
I feel good about not having a filter anymore.
I know, it's fantastic.
It's really freeing.
I know.
So what are our goals?
Some of my goals, and although we've kind of touched about it in a few episodes here and there, I would really like to dive in a little bit more into different sexualities.
Yes.
And talked more about sexuality, disability, occupational therapy, and how kind of all of that intersects.
If you're listening and you would like to talk about that, you feel like you have some expertise in that area or you know somebody, reach out to us on the website.
Yes, you can contact us at otafterdark@gmail.com. Yes, or via Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at otafterdark. But that's one of my big goals. I think there's more to be had about that conversation, and I would really like to open that up a little bit more.
What other goals? we've touched on this. I do think it's important to continue to stress, but get a little more involved into that sexuality across the lifespan doesn't begin at adulthood.
Yep. So, you know, talking more about intellectual disability.
Yep.
I feel like two is another.
Consent. You know, we get a lot of, I apologize to anyone that's reached out and he hasn't got an answer because we don't have the answer yet. We get a lot of questions about consent, and specifically within OT, like if you're working with someone, if you're working with a minor and they want to address sexuality and parents are not okay with that.
What's the role how do you address that?
How do we address
that? Mean?
We don't have that answer yet.
We're working on it, though. We're talking to lots of individuals.
We're working on it.
Goals for 2020.
reaching out to some people. For the most part, everyone we've reached out to has been a guest. I think the only issue we had one issue, and that was a legal issue. Their lawyers said no.
Yep.
Darn lawyers.
I know. Wah, wah.
But for the most part, everyone we reach out to has been happily appeared as a guest on the show.
Yeah.
We got a number of guests already lined up for 2020. Please don't expect us to regularly release. I know we kind of started out to a month.
Then we realized how important the concept of occupational balances in life.
So
we're going to preach that a little bit.
We're
going to
preach that and we're going to live it. You know, we both work full time. Somebody, not me, is starting a new job soon. So no stress there.
No, not at all. Don't ask me about it because I know nothing about it at this point.
As you know, we're both working on our doctorates. I should maybe hopefully finish mine by May of this year. Hopefully. Here's hoping. You're not as close.
No, I got at least a year and a half to 2 years to go. It'll be worth it.
So we have a lot of other things. And this was really intended to be a fun side thing, and I want to keep it a fun side thing, even though it's also, we've also then been presenting at conferences. And
it's been great professionally
but it's,
for us.
Yes, it's been, it didn't even occur to me that it would be a good professional move.
But I mean, it's been fun. I've had a blast. And it's been a great networking experience.
Again, we know practitioners from around the world.
Which I feel like without this podcast, this would have never happened.
Not at all.
And people that I genuinely can call my friends.
Yeah, which is great.
Sup, Brock?
let's just talk about Brock. Let's take a moment.
Oh, Brock over at
Occupied.
This
will be a test. This will be a test to see if he not only listens, if he listens towards the end.
Right.
Brock emailed us within, 24 hours, if that, of our releasing of our first episode and invited us on Occupied, and we were clueless.
Oh God, we had a blast though.
We had so much fun. But since then, he's been so helpful. I mean, that we have been on like video calls with him talking about audio equipment.
Like, hey Brock, we got this new piece of equipment.
How do we use it? Should we buy this one or this one? What mic do you have?
And just having great conversations about
he always
OT
takes those
life
calls.
And life in general.
He always takes those calls, whether he's in his car or like sometimes I think he's woken up.
I don't think the man sleeps.
No, I think anyone who has communicated with Brock, I think would agree he doesn't sleep because he will respond to any message on any platform.
All hours of all time zones.
24/7. It doesn't matter what time it is in Australia. He's somehow responding within like 10 minutes. So I think he was our first kind of welcome into podcast community. And it was a beautiful welcome.
Yes. So thank you, Brock.
And it is. It's a really beautiful community. There's a lot of us now.
I know. And there's been a lot that have popped up, I feel like, since we have shown up.
There's a lot more.
And many using Anchor.
Yeah.
Which we love, clearly.
We do love Anchor. Anchor basically, again, we don't make a lot of money, very little money, but they basically pay us to do this at this point.
It's fantastic.
I love it.
Right. And they make it so easy.
They make it so easy. As you'll hear, the closing ad that will come soon. Any final 2019 closing out the year thoughts, JJ?
It's been a wild ride.
It's been fantastic.
But it's been a wonderful wild ride.
And I feel like we knew each other. We didn't know each other that well before we started this.
You know what, though? I was going to say, even though it's been a wonderful wild ride, I wouldn't have anybody else sitting next to me other than you here,
it's
Kay.
It's as if we were meant to be doing this together.
Right. And throughout this process, I have found out that essentially, Kay and I have the same brain.
We're the same person.
Yeah, essentially, we are the same
person. We have the same weird academic background that confuses people.
We have the same thoughts and likes.
Thought
and
processes, the same.
We live parallel lives.
We do.
But now they've converged.
And we're happy little podcasters.
Yep.
On that note, I think we're going to close out. Let's get our mics close so we can
closing
get
out 2019.
Don't forget,
sex is an ADL.
Cheers.